Joshua chapter 20, about the cities of refuge. In Hebrews 6, Paul wrote Hebrews, he talks about the hope that we have as the refuge into which we have fled. So clearly he understands the cities of refuge as looking forward to the hope, the sure hope of salvation in Jesus. So when you go back and have a look at these cities and the legislation about them, yeah, it all makes sense as a type. It was for the person guilty of manslaughter, the person who had done something wrong, who did deserve to die in one sense, and yet in another sense they had not willfully done this. And that person, of course, looks forward to all of us, really, that we have sinned, we deserve to die, and yet, without justifying our sin, I think the sort of sins that we've committed are, as it were, not willful. They are a result of the weakness of our flesh. And there is salvation. There is this way of escape to that hope, as he calls it, that refuge where we can flee. So let's have a look at these cities. Well, the first thing that you notice when you go through this theme in the Old Testament is that these cities were not really used. There is no really historical account of them being used. And let's look at verse 7. They set apart Kadesh in Galilee. Well, in Joshua 19, the previous chapter, this is listed as a city that Naphtali actually never took. And yet it was commanded to be given by them to the Levites and to be used as a city of refuge. So you see that they didn't want to make this system work. They just thought, what's the point in attacking Kadesh and taking that over from the local inhabitants, because we've only got to give it away to the Levites as one of these cities of refuge. So again, you get the impression that they didn't really make the effort. And likewise, verse 8, Ramoth-Gilead in the tribe of Gad. Well, going through Ramoth-Gilead in the Old Testament, you see that this town passed in and out of Israelite possession and control. And as to Golan in the Bashan, it's doubtful, I think, whether Manasseh ever bothered securing Golan up in the Golan Heights there from the local inhabitants. So you get the impression that they just didn't bother with this wonderful system of salvation. And you also notice, by the way, that most of these cities were either in the wilderness or in mountainous areas. You could read from that, well, we are to make some effort to, as it were, flee into salvation in Jesus. If the person did commit manslaughter and he didn't intend it, but he realizes that I am liable to be killed, I must immediately flee. Well, he had to make some effort, typically, to go out into the desert or up into the mountains. So they couldn't just be used casually. This was not a casual sort of way to salvation. And again, this looks forward to us. And the reality is that there you are, standing at a bus stop, and you are smitten in your conscience by realizing sin. Flee immediately. That was the idea. They were to even mark out the path, the road that led there very clearly, so that there was no mistake, it was easy to get there, you weren't going to take a wrong turning or whatever. They were a signpost, this is the way, flee along this path. But as I say, there's no record that they even used it, and in certainly the early time of the settlement of Canaan, they just didn't bother in actually getting hold of these cities. Instead of thinking, now we must make an effort to get Kadesh, we must make an effort to get Golan, we must do that. No, they didn't. And so, of course, that this all looks forward to how the wonderful system of salvation in Jesus is known about by people, but they don't want it. They think, it's too much effort. And therefore they die in their sins. Now, this is not to say that we are saved by works. But it is also true to say that anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus must make some conscious volition that I wish to do this, that yes, this is for me, I want to go for this. And so this is why I urge people to be baptized. It's why I think that God has set up this idea of believe and be baptized, because the very act of baptism on a psychological level shows that, you know, you're going to get wet, you're going to take your clothes off, you're going to go into water. You are actually doing something. You are actually not just letting life drift on, but you are consciously and purposefully deciding for Him. And that spirit must continue. As I say, it's not salvation by works, but we are not to let life just happen to us. We are to recognize that, yes, there is an urgency to sin. There is an urgency to salvation, and I must respond to it. And yet, as I say, Israel just ignored, it seems to me, that whole wonderful system that was established out of laziness, partly, and just the idea of I'm satisfied where I am. Now, you can be baptized and still slip back into that mentality that I'm just satisfied where I am and I shall let life happen to me and whatever. But one thing's for sure, in the day of judgment, nobody is going to have that attitude. Absolutely nobody is going to have that attitude. We will all desperately want more than anything else in the world, with an absolutely peaked awareness that I want more than anything else to be in God's kingdom. As you see that eternity stretching ahead, and yes, faith has turned to sight. This is all real. He has come back. He's established His kingdom. Well, if that in the end is our ultimate destiny, to desire more than anything else the things of God and His eternal kingdom, well, we must start having that attitude right now.